As we get ready to start the message, let's stand together for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that some of our young people have committed themselves to the Lord this year. That some of them have really grown, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing with our youth, with our children, with our families, Lord. We ask for your continued blessing. Father, we thank you for the growth of the youth group this year and all the amazing things you've done in their lives. And Father, right now, as we come to your word, Lord, we thank you that you are a powerful God, that you did not stay in the grave. It's a good man who will die for others, but it's God who rose from the dead, who rose for a purpose to give us life, to make us whole, that we can live a life honoring God because of what you did for us. We couldn't do it ourselves, God. And you did it for us, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord. Humble us now as we come to your word. Prepare us for the truth of your scripture, for the truth of your teaching, Lord. Get me out of the way. Thank you for each one here, each family, each person, Lord. Bless them, encourage them. Thank you for this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Guys, Jesus is powerful. Now, I don't know about you, but as I look through much of the art that depicts Jesus, we've got the next slide here, and I just pulled up a few of the well-known pictures of Jesus. And have you ever noticed many of the famous pictures of Jesus? What does all five of these pictures have in common? What's that? He's got a beard. Who's he hanging out with? Sheep. Sheep. Now, I just want to say, nowhere in the New Testament does it talk about Jesus hanging out with sheep. But there's this idea that we have in our minds and in our hearts that Jesus is this frail, kind, gentle. Is he loving? Yes. Is he frail? No, he was a carpenter. And nowhere in the New Testament does it talk about him hanging out with the sheep. All right? Now, he hangs out with us, and at times we kind of act a little like sheep. But one of the things I want to talk about today is I want us to deal with this picture that we have of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, it's very popular right now to talk about the love of Jesus and God's grace and those things are so true and so important. But today we celebrate the power of Jesus Christ. His power over the grave, over sin and death. And so I want to start with Revelation 1:18 for our theme verse. And it says this, I am the living one, Jesus says. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. I'm alive. He is powerful, guys. He says he's the one who is in charge of life and death. And guys, that's good news. It's not us. It's not up to us to figure it out, to get it right. It's up to us to receive what he's done. My cousin, John Shorak, he's a missionary. With him and his family have been missionaries for over 10 years in Venezuela. And it is rough down there. His first few weeks that he was there, he was robbed by gunpoint on the bus 3 times. And then once on the street, about 3 days after the last time being robbed on the bus, he was robbed and he was scared for his life. He was really threatened and hit and knocked down. And he was terrified. And shortly after they got there, they went home to visit and to talk to people to help raise some funds for the mission work. And he was so scared Because his father, when he was a young man, his father, my uncle, Ted Shorak, was killed in the war in Vietnam when he was just a young boy. And he was thinking, I've got three kids and here we are in Venezuela. I've already been threatened by gunpoint four separate times. And as he was home visiting different churches, they went to this one church. And he came to this man. And this man looked at him and saw him, and he recognized the face, because John has a similarity to his father. And he recognized the last name, and he said, I knew your father. I was here when he left. I was here at this church on his last Sunday. And God spoke to me and said, he's not coming back. And John looked at him, and here he had been fearful of death and fearful of what the power of death, the hold that it could have over him. And he looked at the man and he said, I'm serving, as you know, in Venezuela. Will I come back? And the man said nothing. And John went and he was scared. And he said he went to a coffee shop and he was there. And he had this moment before God. And God said, John, you're fearing man. You're fearing what man is going to do. I'm God. I have power over death and Hades. I am the Lord of all. You can trust me. I will be enough for you. And John and his wife Birgit and their three kids are going strong. Some of them have gone to college now, and they're still serving in Venezuela. And it's been a blessing. And it's been wonderful. But when he came to that place of realizing he didn't have to fear man. Guys, when we know that God is in charge, that he's the one who holds the keys to death and Hades, he's the one who is in charge, we can trust that he will not make a mistake. There's nothing that happens by accident. Our God is powerful. Easter is a time when we celebrate Jesus' power. And did you know, before Jesus started his public ministry, what was it that he spent some time doing? About 40 days. He spent 40 days preparing for his ministry by fasting. Have you guys ever fasted? It's where you don't eat. You have water, but you don't eat. And you take that time to pray and focus on God. And for 40 days he fasted. I'm telling you, I think Jesus would have been great on Survivor. You know? Because he knew how to get it done. I've never fasted 40 days. I've done, I think 7 was the most I've ever done. And I was hurting. I'm not going to lie. It was rough. Oh my goodness. And after 40 days, Satan comes to tempt him, and it says in Matthew 4:10, it says, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You see, the enemy's going to try and hit us when we're weak. And here Jesus is 40 days fasting. He is weak in the flesh. But he is strong. And he tells Satan, no, go. Take off. Worship God only. He's the only one who is to be worshiped. Our God is powerful. Jesus is powerful. Matthew 6, 23 and 24 says, but if your eyes are unhealthy and your whole body will be full of darkness, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And Jesus here is talking to some rich people. And he says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And Jesus is letting them know, I'm the one with the power. I'm the one that should be worshipped, guys. We will chase after so many things in this world. And when we achieve, have you ever gotten something new, a new car? The new car doesn't stay what? New. That new car, remember getting in the new car? Even when you buy a used car, because I've never bought a new car, but when you buy a new used car, they even clean it well, so it has that good smell. But it isn't that long that, you know what, that smell leaves, and then you get, you park for the groceries, and somebody opens the car door next to you, and you got that ding in the door. And you know what it's like when you get the first ding in your new car? Oh, man. And then you're going a little too fast behind somebody, and they stop a little too fast, and whoo, it's really not a new car. Yeah. Guys, we can worship a lot of things of this world, and it will come up empty. But if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, He is powerful. He will show us the way through, and He will be our strength. In chapter 7, some of the people came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these wonderful things? And Jesus said to them, he said, you know what, guys? I never knew you. I never knew you. And then later in verse 7, he says, when it was done, he said this, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The reason he taught as one who has authority is because he is the authority. He doesn't teach as what might happen if you, and he doesn't teach as one who's pointing at another. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Guys, Jesus made it very clear. There is one way to know God. Do you want to know? Have you ever looked around and thought, what is God really like? You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We want to know what God is like. Yes, Jesus is kind and loving, and he reaches out and he loves and he saves and he does miracles and He's a powerful God who gives very direct teaching and shares truth that will set us free. In verse 8, Jesus is in a boat with his disciples, and there's a huge storm. And all the people in the boat think they're going to die, except for Jesus, who's busy sleeping, because he's at peace. Guys, there are storms in life, and there are going to be times where you're going to be running to Jesus. And you're going to be saying, I can't figure a way out of this. I've made bad choices. By the way, if you've made bad choices, God still loves you. If you've gone down wrong roads, God still loves you. He died for you. That's how much he loves you. And as they think they're going to die, and Jesus is asleep on the boat, this is what it says in Matthew 8. Suddenly a ferocious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. How powerful is Jesus? Even the weather says, what do you want me to do? That's power. That's power. It's incredible. The disciples say, who is this man? Guys, my hope and my prayer is that each and every person in this room can answer that question. Who is this man? Who is Jesus? He's not just a good teacher. Guys, he claimed to be God. So that gives us three possibilities. Jesus said that he was God. So either he was full of it, option number one. Complete liar, and he knew it. and he loved deceiving. The greatest con man of all time. Option one. Option two, he's crazy as a loon. Right? He lied, but he didn't know he was lying. He thought, have you met somebody who thinks they're somebody else? I have. It's a little off-putting. You kind of stand back a little bit. And, hey, how you doing? You have the right of way? No worries. He was either a con man or crazy, or he was Lord. Those are the only three options. He's who he says he was, or he's a liar, or he's crazy. He's not a good teacher. That's not an option. He's a good man who taught good things. No, that's not an option. Because he said he was God. He's powerful, so powerful that even the wind and the waves obey him. In chapter 20, he talks about his death. Guys, I want you to picture this. You've been traveling with Jesus. You're one of the disciples. You've been hanging out with him for 3 years. And things are starting to get a little messy. Things are starting to get really challenging because people are starting to make a big fuss out of Jesus all around him. And you see what's starting to happen. And in Matthew 20, 18 and 19, it says this. Jesus tells his disciples, guys, we are going up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. You see, this was not a surprise to Jesus. He knew what was ahead of him. That's why he came. Jesus was born without sin, lived a life without sin. He came for one reason, to conquer death, to give us a way to be with him. Why? Because God and sin do not go together. God and sin cannot be in the same. And so for us to be in heaven, that sin in us, and you know your own hearts. Anybody here perfect? Because if you raise your hand thinking you're perfect, I know of one sin you've committed. Oh my, every day it's a struggle, isn't it? Every day. I'm a pastor. My paycheck comes from honoring and serving God. And I struggle with sin every single day. And yet Jesus is without sin. And he knows what's coming. And he says, guys, I'm going to be handed over. And God, all-powerful God, all-knowing God, able to do anything. He says, you know what? They're going to mock me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to put a covering over my face and smack me and say, which one of us hit you, Jesus? They're going to whip me with a whip that has nails and stone and pottery in the whip that will cling into the body. And when you rip it out, pieces of flesh go flying. 39 times. Why? Because 40 kills you. And after that, he's going to carry his cross with them mocking and jeering at him. Why? Because of love. Because of love. Jesus who walks in water. Jesus who calms the sea. Jesus who heals people. He tells them, you know what? I'm going to let them kill me. I'm going to let them kill me. That's why I came. Because I love people that much. And that sin that is in each person needs to be dealt with. And only a perfect sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ, a perfect sacrifice will pay the penalty for my sin, for your sin. And they killed him. They killed him just like he said that they would kill him. And they nailed him to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. And when Jesus was on the cross, he was between two men who belonged on the cross. And one of them, from the cross, mocked Jesus. And the other one, who had lived a life of sin, we don't know much about him, but he had done bad enough things to deserve the worst punishment. He had lived a broken life. And he's hanging on the cross, and he sees Jesus, and he sees Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he sees that even while he's without sin, even though he's being killed for no reason, he loves the people who are killing him. And he chooses to follow Jesus. He says, "Jesus, I'm with you." And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You see, God will meet us where we need to be met. Where are you at right now? You're not too far. You're not out of reach of Jesus. His love covers your sin and mine. And what it requires is for us to say, "Forgive me," and to receive what he's done. Because Jesus makes a promise. He says, "If you receive what I've done, now you get to have me for forever. You and me, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my child for life. Not just this life, but eternity." But he also says, "If you choose to deny me here, you get what you chose. If you choose to not have me now, then I'll give that to you for eternity. The absence of God." I don't know what hell's like, but I do know it's the absence of God. And God is everything that is good. And everything that is good comes from God. But he doesn't force us. He doesn't say, "You will be my subject." He says, "I've given you a choice to be my child. I've loved you first. Will you love me back?" They flogged him. They mocked him. They crucified him. But guys, the good news is, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end. It's not at the end of the story when he's in the grave. Today we celebrate something special. Matthew 28, 1 through 6. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were afraid, so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Amen. He is not here. Right? I got to hear that a bunch as they were practicing. He is not here. Man, what a great reminder as I'm going over the message, hearing those words over and over. What a great message. The tomb is empty. He's not here. Nobody snagged his body. The Roman guards were there. They would have been killed if anybody had even moved the stone. Their lives were on the line. Jesus rose from the grave, and he is alive forevermore. He is alive forevermore. Revelations 1:18, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Hades." Guys, it is great news. But I want to ask ask you this. Do you know it more than in here? Guys, the religion of Christianity will not save you. Knowing about Jesus will not save you. Even thinking, oh, that's a nice story, and I try and be a good person, and I'm an American, so yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, that's what we do in America, right? That's not faith. That's religious mindset. That's religious. Maybe you're trying to be a good person. Well, you know what? I'm better than that guy over there. Scott, I'm not pointing at you. That other guy over there, way over there. Yeah. Guys, it's not enough to measure up because none of us do. It's not about saying, well, I'm on the top half of bad people. I'm better than most. We're grading on a curve, right, Jesus? There's no curve. And guys, it's very, very real. I spent my childhood living in utter and complete fear. I spent my young teenage years an angry, angry, angry young man. I just wanted justice for those who had hurt me. It defined my hate, defined who I was. And the one lesson that I learned from my father was that if anybody hurts you, you destroy them. If anybody comes at you and they hit you, you take them out, you take their family out. You do not put up with anything. And that hate, that bitterness, that defined me for so many years. And then I came to that place of seeing Jesus for who he is, for what he's done for me, what real love looks like. And I made that commitment to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. And I said, I'm not just going to say a prayer of salvation. God, I give you my life. I don't know what that means. But I give you my life. I want do something with this mess, please. And he met me right there. Right there. And I started a journey. And guys, it's not an easy journey. If you choose to follow God, God's not going to take all the problems away. I promise you that. But he will provide a way for you to be whole in the midst of the junk. And he says that he will never leave us or forsake us. He will walk with us through the junk. And that one day when he comes back, guys, the end of the story is not today. He's coming back. Praise God, he's coming back. And he's going to take us to be with him. Where do you stand? Do you know? Do you know about God or do you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? My prayer is that each one here would either know today or be on the road to knowing in God's time. Guys, I'm going to say a prayer. And if there's anyone here who is feeling like Jesus is saying, you know what, it's not about religion. I want to know God personally. I want to experience being made new. I want a new identity. I'm tired of trying to do things in my own strength and failing. So let's pray together. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you can start the journey, not end it, start the journey by repeating this prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Father, I choose to follow you. Lord, I've got all this sin and junk, and I can't do it myself. You have made a promise that if we seek you, we will find you. I choose to follow you with my life. Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins. Lord, I don't know what is before me, but I thank you that I am with you and you are with me forever. I love you. I love you back. Here's my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Guys, I want to encourage you also, if you have questions, if you're thinking and you're not sure, please talk to one of the elders here, talk to somebody beside you, talk to me. Don't leave today without knowing where you stand with God. Guys, it's the most important decision you'll ever make. And that's out of a lot of big ones. Where do you stand with Jesus? God bless you. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.